You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
The last of the major pro sports leagues is off and rolling, and college basketball is ready to go as well. BetOnline remains your top spot for all your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are also all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions. All the hoops betting action, along with every sport available at your fingertips with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
Hello and welcome to Absent Minded. We are back. It's the European duo. It's a fugitive. And you're not a fugitive anymore, Anton. You've just been to the dentist, so you're pinned down very well. How have you been doing? And congratulations on the championship.
Yeah, that's great. If we talk about soccer, everything is flying right here, right now. You kind of need something to pick you up in the middle of November when it's cold and dark and windy and gray. It's wonderful to be able to celebrate a soccer championship, especially when, you know, the Montreal Canadiens, being a few years away from competing for real, they're doing quite well, competing in almost every game. But, you know, you see that there are still some pieces missing, and you're just two or three injuries away from being, depleted and back to how it's been last season and especially the season before that.
And we saw that last night. We're recording this on Friday afternoon in Europe, and we saw that last night in regards to the game against Vegas, holding the lead for quite some time. But in the end, Vegas powered through with, you know, they're really, really good. And I know Matt wants to bash the refs a little bit, but it is a very strong team. And that is the kind of team that I foresee front office trying to build up here in Montreal.
Exactly. And, you know, that's why we're here today as well, to talk about the future of the Montreal Canadiens and see what European prospects can actually contribute down the line and be part of this team in 3 to 5 years' time, when this is supposed to be a championship contender. So let's get into it.
Yeah, we're more or less a quarter into the season. The first national break has already been here in Europe. And as Anton sort of let the cat out of the bag, we are talking European prospects. And Anton, you jumped in to help out with the EPR for 1 week, which makes you extremely qualified nowadays.
not as qualified as you, Patrick, let's be honest.
But we sort of divided this into three different tires. Looking at it, the first tire is Kostenko, Gourdin, and Nurmi. It is what it is in a way.
The bottom tier, yes. Exactly. Yeah, Alexander Gourdin he's 22 years of age right now. It's a very, we've spoken about this in
before lengths. Years, I think.
Exactly. It's difficult to see him ever, transitioning into that legit Canadiens sort of prospect. Even seeing him as a Laval prospect would be, you know, to go a little bit too far. We've seen the likes of Arsen Khizamutdinov go like similar paths, and, you know, he made it to the AHL, but didn't actually hold a place there. And Alexander Gourdin, as we've spoken about before, he's got a wicked shot and not much else. So he's currently residing in the Russian second tier, and he's doing as well as he probably should do. And you can easily see him being, you know, a power play specialist on a KHL team in a few years' time. But his skating is not enough for the NHL. I think if he should transition into something more, it probably would have already happened by now.
Yeah, and talking about bringing him over to AHL, and it goes for all these three players, I think, is that you will take up a roster spot for someone that probably is a better prospect. So why would you even sign them? Why would you even take out that roster spot and contract spot down the line? Very valuable things to have. And I see it with Kostenko. He's playing, second division two, and sometimes getting a few shifts here and there, I think, at least from in KHL. But he still is a slow player. It seems like he has to think about everything. It doesn't come natural to him. It is like Roger Federer having to think about how to serve and how to hit his volley directly after. And that won't make any, he wouldn't have been number one if he had to do that. It should just come natural. It should be connected to his spine and his central nerve system, which is something it isn't for Kostenko. And it's unfortunate. I think it was, I think all three picks really were smart picks at that level, but that they don't pan out. It's what you expect from players at that, picked in that range.
Yeah, you have to see where they were, like what they were when they were drafted. Dmitry Kostenko obviously having a little higher pedigree, being drafted in the third round in 2021, but it was the COVID season. He had played in the VHL that season mostly, and the thought was that he was going to go up and play with the Spartak Moscow team in the KHL the season after that. That did not happen. He's continued in the VHL. Then he got a full season in the KHL, but it was for Kunlun Red Star back over in China. 52 games there last season. And you kind of hoped that that experience would propel him into a full-time KHL roster spot at least. But here we are, and he's back in the VHL and has spent the entire season there. So it's difficult, as you said, having 50 roster spots, it's difficult to envision the Montreal Canadiens just like if it was 5 or 6 years ago when the Canadiens had no prospect depth whatsoever, they probably would have taken flyers on just about anyone who had shown any kind of promise. But I think both for Kostenko and for the Canadiens, it doesn't really make much sense. We have a lot of defensive depth, and I cannot see him even, being a kind of like top four AHL player in the foreseeable future. And then you shouldn't really waste a roster spot on him. Then it's better to bring in an AHL veteran to help just teach the young guys in Laval some manners and some professionalism.
Along
So
with the fact that you have, players coming over from Europe already that we know is going to need AHL time or at least getting to play in AHL for a few games, which is Adam Engström as an example, but and maybe even Reinbacher to a certain extent. I don't think Reinbacher will need it, but you got these players there. Then you have the players that is already there that might need, roster spot as well. So bringing another player that just sits on the bench, you can get someone else to do that. And that is the reason I have Nurmi in that tier as well, where it comes to the fact that, he was worth a shot. His trajectory was positive. It has stagnated over the last two seasons. I can't see them bringing over Nurmi. He has upside in certain areas of the game. His vision is good, his passing is good. But it's getting to those areas where he can utilize it that really have him struggle. It doesn't help that he's in Hopiko, which is a team that struggles regularly anyway. So that's part of it. And it's a shame, but I foresee that, they haven't done anything really to improve, to move on from that tier into the second tier where we have players like Volochin, Eriksson, Knushkov and Kapanen. And the interesting thing with that is like there are three players there that is drafted from this summer.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a young tier, basically. But that's also why we have more faith in them, right? Because it's still anyone's, like, as you said with Petri Nurmi, he looked quite well, he looked like he could be a little bit more than just a seventh round pick when he was drafted. But if you want someone to go from HBK, as you say, said, like a smaller team in Finland, which doesn't produce that many NHLers, then you want him to really be a standout player for that team and really push for something more, be a leader in more ways than well, both on the ice and off the ice. And these young guys, at least they have like Filip Eriksson, for example, has one assist in 17 games, zero goals for Växjö, but at least it's for Växjö. It's a good team in Sweden. It's the current champions, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And like just getting minutes for him at the age of 18, 19 is important, obviously.
And he's getting to play internationally in CHL. He was on the roster for the Five Nations Junior Tournament in this past week. He's up there scratching, you know, to get climb higher, which is you don't see Kostenko Gordon normally do that.
No, exactly. And for Filip Eriksson, having had a lot of injury problems, it's important for him to just get those minutes and get back to where, because he was a big talent. And Växjö were really happy to get him. And then he kind of fell off the radar because of injuries. And now just getting consistent minutes, even if it's not in a big role, it's just important for him. So you can see him turning into something more down the line. And I think that Växjö also sees it that way, that they want him to ease into the tempo and ease into an SHL role. And then you can kind of develop him into something more than just a fourth liner in the future. And obviously it's great for the Canadians having his rights for 4 years, because you can really see him develop ahead of bringing him over, and just bringing him over for development camp and stuff, and then seeing what you have in him.
Yeah, and I've been looking. I was expecting Eriksson to play this week, but I haven't seen anywhere that he has played. Växjö is getting players back into the roster, which will mean a position for Eriksson might be limited. I do think that he might that he will play for the under 20 team at certain occasions, especially now leading up to the World Juniors, where he will need to showcase himself and maybe or especially against under 20 players in order for him to showcase that, you know, I'm ready to take a big role on this team where, you know, it's a home tournament for Sweden. We already have Lane Hudson coming in from the US. There are other players coming in as well. Owen Beck for Canada, for sure. But it would be really, really nice to have Eriksson there. And the only player I can see coming over from North America would be Carlson in Anaheim. And, you know, the question is if Anaheim will let him go. The one thing that stands out for me is that, you know, it's the home tournament. You might want to let your player go. Leo Carlson, amazing player, but he's not competing with Eriksson for the same roster spot either. So it doesn't really matter for us if he comes or not. It matters for me personally in regards to I want Sweden to win, but it doesn't matter for Montreal Canadiens, you know, development.
No, and it would be interesting if Växjö get players back from injury and they send Filip Eriksson down to the J20 team to play a few games and just get some, you know, top line minutes with the J20 team, it wouldn't be the worst thing ahead of the World Juniors, because obviously, as I said, you want him to be something more than a grinder in the future. You don't want him to be a fourth liner. Obviously, like now having received those minutes in the SHL, it should slow things down for him at the J20 level, where he should be a dominant player. He was a dominant player already with a point per game player in the few games he played last season for Växjö Lakers in the J20 National. But now it should be even smoother for him. And then he can just push the under 20 coach into giving him a bigger role on the team if he actually makes the team. So like, yeah, it's great for him getting the SHL minutes, but it's a different role when it comes to a junior tournament where he's supposed to be a more offensively gifted player. So yeah, it's all about getting the reps and the minutes for him this season and developing.
Indeed. And one player that we're not sure is a grinder or a scorer yet is Oliver Kapanen. Obviously the national service and being away for the full summer, doing something which I really respect a professional player do, getting into his conscripted service, especially with, you know, the situation in Europe and Finland having such a long border with Russia. But On the other hand, it is clear now in hindsight that that was probably what slowed down Kapanen's start of the season.
Yeah, he was unlucky as well. He had, you know, he had a ridiculously low shooting percentage in his first 8 or 10 games. But, you know, the problem with Kapanen is just that you want him to, like, really be a leader on his team now. And now he's, you know, he's picked up his pace. It will probably end up being a quite decent season in the end, once you look at it, like, from a full perspective. It was just a little bit worrying when his season got off to such a rocky start, because he was a 0.5 point per game player last season. You wanted him to really contribute and maybe be up there at, you know, 40 points in 55 games or something this year. He's now coming up to that standard where he was last year. So, like, if he can push on from that, and as you said, I can imagine, I've not done the military service myself, but I can imagine that it kind of slows you down. It's a different kind of training you do there, and it kind of it's not focused on your athleticism. Obviously, it's more about strength and persistence. So he should become better the longer the season goes on, really, when he really gets into the, the pace and his role and everything. I still think that we've seen Jesse Ylönen, for example, struggle from time to time in the Liga, and he's still been a massive contributor for the Laval Rocket especially, and he had 2 goals last night, so he will be an NHL player for real. He's had that kind of Jake Evans development, so I think that Kapanen could end up being something similar for the Canadiens in the future if his development continues. He's still only 20 years old.
Yeah, and so if he was really born, like, what, 2 weeks later, he would have been in the next year's draft, more or
exactly.
less.
Exactly, exactly. So I don't think we should write him off. I think that...
Definitely not. And I think he will need AHL time, that's for sure.
Yes, but he will get it.
Yeah.
This is
the contract you signed.
Exactly. So like, I imagine him, we see Riley Kidney, for example. They will always be kind of tiered together because they were selected with back-to-back picks, kind of like Luke Tuck and Jan Mischak. So you see Riley Kidney now being a utterly dominant player in the EQ last season and the season before that, and he's kind of struggling to pick up his pace in the AHL. Is normal for some players. Everyone can't be Joshua Roy. So Oliver Kapanen, just, you know, playing in one of the big leagues in Europe and doing that, it should really get him accustomed to playing in the AHL down the line and being that kind of middle six center who can make his line mates, being a reliable player for the Laval team, hopefully as soon as next season.
Indeed, and crossing that long border with Finland into Russia, Volokhin is such an interesting goalie prospect. The only problem for me with Volokhin and Urga is, and Urga's junior team, is really the other goalkeeper, who is also an outstanding prospect, and I forgot his name right now, and I'm sure you have it somewhere, Anton. But
yeah, I was gonna find it. Mamonti Yogari.
Yeah, but it's because they are sharing the duties, and he's a year younger, so he's getting a little bit more of the duties. But whenever Volokhin plays, he's performing at a high level for being in the junior hockey league. Where we all know that defense is kind of optional, and goalies can be hung out to dry. I'm really, really impressed with the numbers. I haven't been able to catch many games. I've catched a few highlights, to be honest. But he looks like he's progressing the whole time through. And I think that is the important thing. And you know, we look at all three goalies. What is it? Fowler, Volokhin,
and Miller
has all, you know, after the draft, they're taking those steps that we wanted him to, and Volokhin is doing that. Question is, where will he go to next year? Because next year is VHL time or KHL time, really. I expect him to go to a VHL team and continue his development there. The situation in Europe, and not to go into all the political stuff, means that there will be bigger or more opportunities in KHL, though. So it might be worth looking into that, or at least getting a few games into to KHL. And someone who is really playing well in KHL is Konushkov. And yeah, I'm just worried, and it's my own fault to a degree, because I see so many similarities between him and Mathias Norlander. And let's be honest, Mathias Norlander hasn't really impressed since he came over
He
to
impressed
America.
in the preseason this year. I think that it kind of I'm still a little bit worried about Mathias Norlander's mental aspect, like that he I don't know how it is for him when things don't go really his way. And I think that he was hoping that he would beat out Justin Barron for that seventh spot on the Canadiens this year. He obviously did enough in preseason to actually cement his spot, but I think the Canadians thought that it's better for him to have a big role in Laval, a young Laval team where he's already been for a season. And then it's kind of not worked out in Laval now for the start of the season. But you know, down the line, maybe you could see a pairing of Bogdan Konyushkov and Mathias Norlander in Laval.
Oh,
That would be something.
you mean like wingers,
Oh well, no. I mean, as all out attack, you know, the three attacking forwards, two attacking defensemen, and just a goalie to pick up the slack.
That's when you pull the goalie.
Exactly. You do a six against. Well, you pull the goalie, and then you bring Mayu in as the third defenseman.
Jokes aside, though, I'm really impressed with the minutes that he's getting. It also speaks a little bit to how watered out the KHL has been. He is struggling a little bit in his defensive zone. He's on the shorter side. He's not 6 feet. He's not, he weighs as much as a wet towel. But in he has the skills, just like Mathias Norlander had a couple of years ago. He signed a new contract with Torpedo, and he will continue to play there for the foreseeable future, which means that when or if he comes over, he is going to be a very much developed player already.
Yeah, he should be.
And the question is, because the difference between playing KHL and playing NHL or AHL is massive. So can he make that jump properly? And in regards to what we have seen with Filip Broberg, as another example, with these high offensive puck moving defenders from Europe, along with Mathias Norlander and a couple of others, I'm not sure that he is that prospect that we might want him to be. Is he the new Norlander, the one where we this is the player we don't really have, but this time we have it. Compared to a couple of years ago when Norlander was ranked third and fourth in the top 25 on 25.
Yeah, I mean, if we look at another smaller defensive all-out attack prospect, Lane Hutson is probably easier to just look at and see what his development will be. Because with Konyushkov, I really like him. He's an exciting prospect. It's more fun to watch Konyushkov than to watch someone like Petteri Nurmi.
Yeah, of course, he's a
Yes.
player up.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like it can be a boom or bust, obviously, but you know, just getting a big role on a KHL team. We know the KHL is not what it used to be. It's kind of difficult to know exactly where they are in terms of quality. But we also know that KHL teams regularly want to shelter their defensemen. Obviously, Alexander Romanov was on a stacked CSKA team. Playing for Torpedo Nizhny Novgorod is maybe not the same, but he's still, you know, one of the defensemen getting the most minutes on that team consistently. So yes, there are a few things that he will need to improve upon. His play in defensive zone, you know, bulk up a little bit, absolutely. But there's also a reason why he was passed over in previous drafts. He's an overager, and
And
just
that's what
seeing,
I draw the parallel with Norlander as well.
Norlander, yeah, for sure. But just seeing him, you know, getting so much playing time is great, you know. And it's you're in it for the long run with Konyushkov. If he develops into someone who can produce, you know, 40, 45 points like Chris Weidman did in the KHL, at least you will have someone with potential, well, who you can potentially trade.
You can recuperate that draft pick or move up a tier in the draft. And that's worth a lot.
If you end up having a Lane Hudson on your team already, and you establish, maybe you have a Logan Mayhew as well, and you establish that, well, we can't have another offensive defenseman with, you know, flawed defense, then great. Just, you know, like, ask one of the other teams missing that kind of aspect from their defensive core, and you could probably recuperate, as you said, a draft pick from it.
Just a quick commercial break, so please lower the volume in order to stay on the road, stay on the pavement, and not jump on to the train tracks if you're going for a underground commute.
One player that I don't think gets enough credit in Montreal media at the moment, because he went the opposite way. He went from North America, bet on himself on a really, really good team with a very good coach, coming back into Switzerland.
Is Rika Grambor still there?
No, he's in Tappara. But I think the fact that, you know, Vincenzo Rohr grabbing with both hands the opportunity in Zurich when Andrighetto and Malgin getting the injuries that they got, you know, he took it with both hands, grabbed the ball, tossed it around a little bit, made sure that he planted his feet steady and said, okay, push me away from this. And they can't really, because the way he's playing is really, really good. He's obviously in the shadow of David Reinbacher in this tire and in general in Swiss League. Mm-hmm. But he deserves a lot more credit than he gets.
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting. If you look at him at Elite Prospects, for example, Rohrer still has all of the teams next to his name, like the Lions in the National League, which is the top tier, the GC Küsnacht Lions in the second tier, and the GCK Lions under 20 team in the under 20 league in Switzerland, because even Elite Prospects weren't sure where he was going to play. He was kind of on the borderline, and then he's just maintained a spot on the SC Lions, I guess you would say it, in the top tier. And it's just, he plays. And I think, like, from the start of when they drafted Vincenzo Rohr, yes, he's a little bit undersized, but he plays much bigger than his body size would suggest. He's a feisty player. He's an energetic player. He's the kind of guy that I can imagine will... If he continues to develop, he can push for that kind of spot that Raphaël Harvey-Pinard has on the team right now, for example. That kind of winger who gives you an all-out effort every night and makes his line mates better because he just competes, you know, fearlessly every night. And he goes into board battles with players much bigger than himself. He doesn't shy away from anything. And then he can add a little bit of a scoring touch as well. So Rohrer did really well with the Ottawa 67s. We know that he's a good friend of Marco Rossi, who also played for the Ottawa 67s before him. And he's an exciting prospect to get in the third round, I think it was, when he was drafted.
Yeah. And playing with the national team this past week, I think he actually did, he didn't score. Austria fell in all games, if I remember correctly. But, you know, he's there. He's pushing for that international spot as well.
Well, I know, obviously you should. If you're from Austria and you can actually skate, you should be on the national team.
We also know that Mark Crawford is very high on him and likes him a lot, describes him as a player that always comes in to compete, and that's what we see.
I just want to say, like, it feels like Vincenzo Rohrer feels like the typical player that old school hockey guys like Mark Crawford would love, because, you know, you get into the locker room and you see this, like, small, like, 5'10 guy, and just like, well, he's too young to make this team. And then you get out on the ice and he doesn't shy away from anything, kind of like a young Brendan Gallagher.
Yeah.
And then just like, well, I can't take this guy off because he's just like, he plays much bigger than you would expect. And, like, it just feels like that old school hockey mentality where you're just like, oh, like, I love this. You can send him out for 12 minutes a game and he's just like a pit bull out there.
And those 12 minutes will be 100% of the time. And we're going to cut Rheinbacher a little bit short because obviously he hasn't played a lot, but he is the top prospect in Europe. One player that a lot of people expected a lot more from, and we need to make this short, Anton, is Adam Engström. Rögle has obviously struggled completely there in the 13th spot, in a 12th spot in a 14 league, and just 4 points off from being in the relegation zone right now. But the good thing is he has to learn to play defense this year. The bad thing is that, you know, Rögle is loading up on all possible offensive-minded defenders, so his time on ice is dropping a little bit.
It kind of feels like Rögle obviously had a bad season last year, and they were kind of expected to bounce back this season. Obviously, Adam Engström was one of the few bright spots on the team last season, but I don't think that the team of brothers, Cam and Chris Abbott, who run Rögle as head coach and GM, I don't think that they see it as an opportunity to have another failed season, because then questions will start to be raised about the job that they actually do there. They've done a great job for the last 5 years or so. But you know, if you see Rögle plummet down the table once again after being tipped, after being expected to compete for you know, the title, or at least being in the playoffs, then, you know, it's kind of difficult. Like, Adam Engström will still be on the team, but if you get an opportunity to bring in a veteran presence who has impressed in the SHL before, they brought in Lukas Ekestål, for example. They've had other players, Simon Rifors, who haven't been performing as they should. And yeah, that obviously, as you said, it's great for Adam Engström to get a lot of defensive minutes, but like, you want him to play a 200-foot game as a defenseman, and it's kind of difficult when the team is not performing up to par.
I want to just get in here, point out to the audience in North America that Rögle is sixth in Corsi 4, they're fifth in Fenwick, but they're 12th in PDO, and it sort of explains the season. The bounces are not getting to the right, or going the right way for Rögle, and it sort of has impacted the season for Montreal, or for the prospect of Montreal, Adam Engström. I think it's safe to say, though, that Rögle will improve with those underlying numbers. They will climb the table. It is a very even table. I think it's 12 points or 14 points up to the top spot already. So, everyone is beating each other, and hopefully Rögle will be able to climb that ladder and get into, I'm sure they will get into the playoffs sooner rather than later. But we saw Adam Engström yesterday, two smart assists on Thursday night against local rivals, more or less, Hove 71, who is also competing to get out of that possible relegation spot. I like the fact that Engström is getting the defensive minute. I don't like that they're bringing in players that are not sound defensively to maybe help Adam Engström facilitate that offense. I think it's very good that he gets the education on defense, but I still want him to shine offensively. He got a chance last night. He's playing around 18 to 22 minutes, depending on the game and depending on this usage. But it is an educational year, and you can sort of expect a sophomore slump. But Adam Engström is also that kind of player that wants to drive on. And I foresee that no matter what they do and who they bring in, there is this chance that Engström will, much like Rohrer, grab the bull by the horns and say, you know, I'm standing here, try to get me off this spot.
Yeah, we have to remember that. Like, last season, when he left Djurgården to go to Rögle, the thought was that he would, you know, start in the under-20s and, you know, work his way up. And as you said, he grabbed the bull by its horns, and once he was on the on one of the defensive pairings, he wouldn't let go of it. So it's a good thing for a young player to learn as well, that when the going gets tough and the situation calls for it, a GM will always, or at especially a board, not looking at the Corsi Four and Fenwick and all that stuff. They just see results. They want to bring in a few more established players to get them out, like dig them out of the hole. And it's important for a young player then to show that, well, I'm here and I'm not going to move. I'm just going to up my game and remain in this position.
Yeah, and we're mentioning Viljanen and Kalpa, especially are two players that I are not very strong, have strong feelings for defensively. I think Viljanen is one of the players that might leave Rögle during the season because of his play. He's coming from Finland, hasn't really impressed. And it wouldn't surprise me if he goes back to Finland. He also takes up one of the spots that Adam Engström could use on the second power play unit at the moment. Mm-hmm. Gregoire is also one of those players that I think hasn't really done what was expected from him. The transition from Liga into SHL sometimes looks as huge of a gap as AHL to NHL.
Mm. Yeah. And you have to remember as well, like there are a limited amount of non-EU roster spots as well. So if you bring in a North American, you want him to really lead your team. And Thomas Gregoire having 7 points in 17 games this season after being almost a point per game player in Lukko in Liga last season, you probably pay him a lot of money and you want to see more production for that value.
Yeah, I mean, like getting some, you know, old school type of AHL player coming here, taking roster spots from Swedes. Oh, how dangerous it could be. I'm only joking, guys. But there are a few comments of that, you know, stay in Europe or bring them over early. There are a lot of different things. But Adam Engström is progressing. Unfortunately, we had the injury to David Reinbacher, which makes his season sort of, you know, lacking for results. Yep. But he will go on the ice in about 3 hours time, so we're looking forward to that. He will have a full week of training with him. He looked a little bit rusty coming back. He had some defensive errors, a little bit too confident with the puck, or a little bit slow getting rid of it. What those kind of mistakes you can expect from a young player, especially coming back from a injury down the line.
It's fun though, like with David Reinbacher. He's obviously in that Caden Gooley spectrum of defensive prospect, where he's so reliable that you don't worry as much when he gets injured that he's gonna struggle once he gets back into the game, because compared to these other defensive prospects, which we have compared today, where we have talked about Konyushkov, we've talked about Engström, and we've mixed Norlinder in there. Who are more those kind of flashy defensemen where you're kind of like, well, you get a lot of offense. Can they work on their defense to kind of, you know, be that, someone you can put anywhere down the lineup? A guy like Reinbacher is just like, well, he's not the flashiest pick, but he's probably going to be someone who you can rely on for 22, 24, 25 minutes a night. So it will just be fun solid to see him play. Exactly. Solid all over. And that's not a bad thing. Like, we see that with Caden Gooley. Caden Gooley is like hands down the best defenseman on the Canadiens right now. And he's only, 21 years old. So if you can get someone who's solid all over and can contribute in all aspects of the game, that's what you want, really. Jordan Harris is another one who's kind of like underappreciated in that way, that he doesn't have those qualities standing out. Like, if you look at Reinbacher and Gooley compared to Harris, obviously they're much more imposing physically. But Jordan Harris is also a player who's just like solid. You can play him on the first pairing, you can play him on the third pairing, sort of like Brett Kulak when he was on the Canadiens. So not comparing all of them, but it's just like Reinbacher is just, his floor is so high already that you're kind of like, yeah, it doesn't help him being injured for a month or two, but I have no worries that he's going to get back into it and play a huge role on Kloten this year.
No, for sure. I'm absolutely sure he will be. He was back on the first pairing more or less directly. I spoke with Adam 10 days ago, And just to mention, he's 187, 6'2", 88 kilos. What would that be? 195 probably in pounds?
350 pounds.
Yep. Yeah, well, you know, he's not splitting ribbons in yet, but he's getting there. But yeah, Adam is one of those physical players. He can play physical. He just needs to adjust to do it in front of the net a little bit right now. He's working a lot on his positioning. He's working a lot on his board battles. These are the kind of things that we really asked Norlinder to do as well when we saw him in the SHL. So I don't like to compare players, but there is a wide gap between comparing or when you compare Norlinder to Engström, because they're not even in the same ballpark.
So it's easier. You compared Konyushkov to a Norlinder, for example, and that's a more fair comparison, right? Because it's an easy but also lazy comparison to automatically assume that, because Engström is an offensively gifted Swedish defenseman, to just assume that he's a Mattias Norlinder, because they play the game in a different way.
They play the game in a different way. They have Mattias Norlinder's offensive output is way ahead of Engström, but on the other hand, Engström has a very, very good offensive mind, but he also has a defensive mind that works so much more than Mattias Norlinder has ever done. So completely different. Then you have the size difference as well. He's closer to Reinbacher in size than to Norlinder in size. So you have that as well. I think he's
also younger, like when playing these SHL minutes at a younger age than Norlinder ever did.
So there important. Is that as well. And just to mention Norlinder's old team Modo and Frölunda as well. Frölunda is struggling and is fourth in the table. But Norlinder's hometown team or first pro team Modo is just above Rögle in the table, and I would assume they will continue to fall because they just been promoted. If they can avoid the relegation series, I think they are happy with the season. Expectations now, looking forward towards the new year and in December, really you want to see Kapanen continue his development and continue putting pucks in the net, or at least getting them to other players, putting them in the net. Is there anything else you want to see Kapanen do?
Being an overall leader on the team, being like Kalpa, being you know, it's not one of the juggernauts in the Finnish Liga, but you want to see him just being an overall someone taking the team to a good level. If he doesn't contribute with points, there is always the leadership and all of those aspects that he will need to carry over to Laval once he gets there. And he comes from a hockey family. He has a hockey pedigree, and just continuing to hold his head high. And that's why I think it was a good for him having that start to the season when no pucks would go in the net, and he kind of like bounced back from that. It's important for a young player to learn that. So developmental wise, I think that he will probably end up being just where he's supposed to be once we get to April. Just that the way there is probably has not been as consistent as you would have expected coming from last season, which was quite impressive.
Roar, you think he will get into, you know, one of the continue getting into the national team tournaments that are coming up in just before Christmas?
Yeah, for sure. Austria, as I half jokingly said, Austria doesn't have that many key players, that many greats. So Vincenz Rohr should be someone who could play the World Championships in May next year, because like if you play for the Lions in Zurich for the entire season, you're kind of one of Austria's go-to guys. It doesn't matter that you're 19 years old. So it's going to be fun to see if, we don't know what's going to happen with David Reinbacher. Maybe the Canadians want to bring him over to Laval at the end of the season already. But otherwise, it would be fun to see both Rohrer and Reinbacher on an Austrian team in the World Championships, or yeah, otherwise just
well, his graduation will probably be in June, so you know.
yeah, exactly. So probably they will stay put for the entire year then. And no, it's just great to I've said that before as well. I think it's great for those two guys to have the proximity to each other as well. Both being Austrian, being in the same age, being drafted by the Canadians 1 year apart, I think they will have a lot of help from each other in pushing each other to the limits.
And what about we mentioned Eriksson, we expect him to at least challenge for the World Junior spot. It wouldn't surprise me if he is the last cut, to be honest.
Yeah.
Two players though that we might struggle to understand their development is Volokhin and Konushkov, because of Russia being frozen out
Yeah.
for obvious reasons, but also because if they play with the national team or junior national teams, they are playing against Belarus.
Rubbish teams. Yes,
Yeah.
rubbish teams. So
So you're
yeah.
not getting that extra added depth of understanding their development just yet.
No, watching the Russia under 20 team beat Uzbekistan with the 20-0 doesn't really tell you anything about how they would fare against an AHL opponent or even NHL opponent, obviously. But yeah, it's kind of difficult to know if what we're saying about Konyushkov, for example, being it's impressive that he plays those minutes at that age as a defenseman in a veteran savvy league as the KHL. That's what we knew from before the war, obviously. Like we it's di
But it
more
still
difficult.
is. Let's be
Yeah,
honest. It still
of
is.
course, but it's still difficult now. It's more difficult now for the KHL teams to bring in the veterans from other leagues because you can't really if you go to the Russian league through the KHL, you're kind of a pariah for a lot of other teams in Europe after that. So
And also you're a pariah for your national team coming up.
exactly. So
So it
which means
hits you
that
on a few different levels in order for North Americans to understand.
yeah. So obviously I hope that Bogdan Konyushkov is playing heavy minutes for Torpedo because he's a good player compared to other leagues as well. And I hope it's not just because, well, he was the only one we could get here. He's the best of the rest, so to say. But yeah, his development and Volokhin's development have been impressive, especially like we have two other guys in the Russian league in Kostenko and Gordon. And if it was all down to the Russians and just getting them into the KHL because no foreigners would come there, then obviously Gordon and Kostenko would be playing in the KHL as well. So if that is a comparison, obviously Volokhin playing still in the junior league, but he's just 18 and he has an impressive save percentage. So Volokhin and Konyushkov, I think they are guys to look forward to seeing more of.
We would like to bat a little bit for the omnipresent Matt Drake, be it that he challenges the refs for their calls, for telling everyone how great Joshua Roy is, but especially for bringing us the bottom 6 minutes that has been a staple for my commute this season. Make sure to subscribe, and I'm sure Matt and Jared will have something North American wise soon.
This Habs and Minded episode was brought to you by Bet Online.